A no-deal Brexit, what does it mean? The British government today attempts to spell that out. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Now, business leaders in the UK have been banging the drums about the risks of a no-deal Brexit, warning about disruptions to food and medical supplies, aviation, financial services, labour and trade generally. So today, the government here is publishing technical notes on what businesses can do now to prepare. A survey commissioned by KPMG, also released today, shows more than half of roughly 3,000 respondents believe a no-deal Brexit is likely, with 45% saying it'll be bad for the country. Here's the UK's Brexit Secretary, Dominic Raab, speaking to the BBC this morning.
I don't think the word turmoil will appear in any of the technical notes. Is in terms of things like the economic shock and the doomsday scenarios, we've heard a lot of this in the past. The Bank of England, the Treasury, are already doing the work to make sure that we're in the best position we can to address any of the initial short-term uncertainties, but make sure that we can not only manage down the risks, and there will be risks, we need to be honest about that, but also grasp the opportunities of Brexit.
Now, let's zero in on farming. The EU spends 40% of its budget on agriculture. Much of it is subsidy payments to farmers. So how would a no-deal Brexit affect them? Andrew Davis is a farmer in Wales and a Conservative member of the Welsh Parliament.
We farm beef, sheep and oilseed. And this time of year is pretty busy because obviously we're harvesting the crops that we've been growing for the last 12 months and getting the ground ready to plant now when the planting season starts next month. So far this morning, been feeding up some cattle and obviously trying to get some machinery moving so that the boys can start the cultivation work.
Now, you've supported Brexit. Why? What would be different on your farm if Britain were out of the EU?
Well, it's looking to the future, really. I mean, the Common Agricultural Policy, which has governed the way farming has been supported over the last 45 years of our membership of the EU, has basically stifled innovation. It's closed down openings for new farmers to come into the industry. And the United Kingdom has gone down from being 75% food secure to about 60% over the last 30 years. So really, on all fronts, the Common Agricultural Policy hasn't delivered for Welsh or UK agriculture. And that's why I think we'll be better off outside the European Union.
Well, at this crucial point, our high-tech BBC connection broke. So we called Andrew back on his phone. Now, what about those subsidies, which make up 80% of earnings for some farmers?
We do know that the UK government, irrespective of deal or no deal, is going to guarantee support payments up to 2022. And so, you know, even if there is a no deal, those support payments will continue up to the end of this parliament. And let's not forget, if there's no deal, then Britain doesn't pay the 40 billion. See, that money can be used to support agricultural industries and other industries that obviously might be affected by a no deal scenario in the short term.
How much do you get, for example, in subsidies?
Well, it depends on the environmental schemes that we were in. At the moment, we're not in any environmental schemes. It would go to 50%, but now it's down to maybe 20-30% of the overall output, it would be. There are certain farms that account for as much as 80% of their turnover.
And you're not worried about those subsidies reducing or disappearing with a no deal?
Well, as I said, the government have committed to maintaining the support payments till 2022. What we're all working to achieve, both from the industry and from the political side of things, is a secure deal that benefits both Europe and Britain, but also benefits consumers in North America. Because don't forget, the EU has not got a trade agreement with the United States of America, and that denies many American citizens the delights of British produce.
Ah, like strawberries. Can't argue there. That was Welsh farmer and politician Andrew Davis, and those no-deal Brexit notes are out in about an hour. Let's do the numbers. Global investors are largely shrugging off the escalation in trade tensions between the US and China after a new round of tariffs go into effect today. China's Shanghai Composite ended up nearly 0.5% as European markets trade in positive territory. But a closely watched survey of business executives released today showed expectations for future Eurozone growth hit its lowest level in nearly 2 years as fear of a global trade war still weighs on the manufacturing sector. Now, tariffs on $16 billion worth of Chinese imports to the U.S. go into effect today as a new round of talks between the two nations kick off in Washington. The BBC's Robin Brandt in Beijing reports from VI Micro, one Chinese company that illustrates China's ambitions and America's worries.
Littered about this office are loads of these. It's a kind of a black box, basically, about 30 centimetres long, 10 centimetres wide, and a camera at the front. Behind that camera lens is a chip. that does something very special.
This camera doesn't just see you, it processes you using artificial intelligence. This company is a small part of a much bigger government-backed effort called Made in China 2025. President Xi wants China to have its own aircraft manufacturing industry and also to dominate in industrial robots and electric vehicles too. At the camera chip firm, they have high hopes. VI Micro epitomises China's push for technological advancement, particularly in sectors where it thinks it can lead, maybe even dominate.
Made in China 2025 is so important to this country and so worrisome to some other countries because it's not just about making new hardware. It's about information and then what you do with that information.
China still insists that some foreign firms hand over their precious technology when they come and set up here. It still insists on joint ventures with Chinese companies in some key sectors. It's a country that's determined to move up in the world and move away from made in China, meaning simply T-shirts and microwaves.
Robin Brandt reporting. Finally, the British Central Bank thinks getting rid of the penny and the twopence coin won't have an effect on prices. 60% of those coins are used just once before they drop out of circulation, and they're expensive to produce. No word, though, on exactly when the penny will be dropped. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.